This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
So, why do you have a problem with Doomsday Clock?
I don't really have. It's not. Let's see. Maybe I've been trying to think of this because I read it twice. Okay.
Okay.
But I've been looking forward to it for so long now. I think it's a case of I overhyped myself for it.
Yeah, because after we talked. After you read it the first time, you were like, oh my god, this is terrible, this is garbage, I hate this, this is so stupid.
I wasn't like that.
You said that it would not even make your top five books of the week.
Well, and then you still said, hasn't done that.
And I mean, I read that as top 25 books, and I was like, damn, I only got 19 books, so I don't know how that's not making 25 for you, but...
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I think I had about 19 or 20 that week, too, but...
I for once, I'm not the one who hates on something.
Well, I'm not hating on it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I could scroll back through conversation we had and read you what you were writing.
Okay. After reading it the second time, it still wasn't what I wanted, like what I hyped myself up for.
Okay.
But there was a lot of cool things that I guess I hate read the first time that I didn't take in consideration. Does that count?
Right. I could see that.
I don't know. Are we going to spoil it for people with DCBS or what?
Yeah, I mean, we may as well, because how can we really talk about it without, you know?
Yeah.
Just before you spoil it, I just want to say I scrolled back a little bit in a conversation that we had, and Wednesday at 2:19 p.m., your exact words were, "I'd rather wipe my ass with that Geoff Johns horrible shit." So you can tell me you weren't hating on it all you want. Your words, sir.
Yeah. Well, now my memory's coming back to me. Okay, like the Rebirth one shot issue.
Okay.
Right? When we read that, it was instant awesomeness, right? Like the possibilities of where everything could go, and it was great seeing this character come back for this or.
Right.
Change into that type of thing.
But with the Rebirth one-shot, we didn't really know anything about it going in.
We don't know really anything about Doomsday Clock, right?
But it's... How do I explain this? Like how I'm thinking. Yes. With the Rebirth one-shot, it was, hey, we're putting out a super-sized, what was it, like 84 pages? A special that's going to set the groundwork for what we are about to do. And it's going to bring back characters. It's going to tell a whole story. And it started this whole Doomsday Clock thing with, you know, the button and everything else. But going into it, it's not like we knew what exactly they were doing. I don't remember seeing any preview pages. I don't remember any of that stuff. With the Doomsday Clock, not only were they saying, hey, we're going to explain all the Watchmen references, it's going to be, you know, Watchmen-centric, it's going to have these characters. They also put out, you know, those three or four pages with Rorschach, you know, at the prison.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, everybody read that and just like, oh, my God, this is going to be so amazing.
At NYCC, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so they were giving us more about what this was. So I think that could be why that this was more, you know, more hyped up for you than the Rebirth thing. You know? I mean, Also because before Rebirth started, it was, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of great stuff towards the end of New 52. Like, some of it was really good, but, I mean, nothing was really blowing you away. So the fact that they're just like, listen, we're going to just wipe this clean and we're just, this book, read this, we'll explain everything. So, I mean, there really was no way. The only way to go was up, pretty much. So.
All right. I guess so. I don't know. To me, I read it twice, and I appreciate it more the second time.
Okay.
But it... and I'm hopeful that the rest of the series will blow me away, but this one really didn't, like, hook me like I wanted it to.
Okay. So, the way I'm sort of looking at this is, there's what, 12 issues?
Yeah.
So, in the 12 issues, you have... The way I'm looking at it is that this is a giant, big, blockbuster movie. Okay? Each issue is like 10 to 15 minutes of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this issue is like the opening credit sequence. So, while the opening credits and stuff are rolling, you're getting all the scenes of, you know, the attacks, like the terror stuff and like everything else that's going on with the news reports, you know, reporting everything and, you know, going through that whole thing is like, you know, starring so-and-so, and it's like the overdub, whatever. And I, to be honest, I really liked how they did that in this book, the way that, you know, the speech bubbles and everything were like folding on top of each other. Like, you are hearing multiple reports coming in, you know, as everything. And then you have Rorschach show up, and he goes and grabs, you know, Marionette. And then they go, you know, she's like, I'm not leaving without him. And then they go and grab, holy crap, I just blanked on his name.
The mime?
Yeah, they grab the mime. Jesus, I don't know why I was thinking something totally different. You know, and then they leave. You know, they're working their way out. And it's pretty much, this is all, for me anyway, I'm looking at it like this is all just the first couple minutes of what is going to be a crazy-ass blockbuster. And it's building to something. So I'm not too concerned. I have faith that it's going to go where it needs to go. And it's going to be awesome when it gets there.
Okay. But if you take the blockbuster approach and you're not hooked or entertained in the movie in the first 10 or 15 minutes, right?
Okay.
Then do you see what I'm saying about...
No, because you're looking at it wrong. Okay? If you were watching this as a blockbuster, you have...
I think we had this discussion with The Punisher.
No, it's totally different than that. Because with this, you have, you know, there's that, the prisoner trying to grab the keys from the guard, and Rorschach knocks him out, and you have Rorschach show up, and that's your big, you know, the first, oh, damn, moment, and then he's walking down the thing, and then you have, you know, with Marionette, when he kind of reveals herself, and you're like, interesting, so it's not Rorschach, but it is Rorschach. And then she leaves, and then when they're going to get the mime, Rorschach. Well, it is Rorschach. There's the fight scene. it is. When the you know, there's the scene with the guards that are getting beaten and it looks to be sexually assaulted by the guys, and then they start going after the mime, you know, and then he, you know, she's like, hey, we're gonna leave, and then next thing you know, he just beats the crap out of everybody even though he's just been sitting there doing nothing. That's the big, you know, the opening action sequence that gets you into everything. I think it was great when he went to grab his weapons out of the locker, and Rorschach's like, there's nothing here. And then he takes his guns and everything and puts his invisible stuff in. Come on, that was great.
Yes, that's probably my favorite part of the whole book. The mime is like, he steals the show.
Right. And right there, you say you like the mime, and that's what gets you into your first 10 minutes of the movie. And then they show up, you know, in...
No, me saying I like the mime isn't saying that I'm going to sit there for 2 hours and watch a boring movie.
Please.
You, I mean, I have there. Done that before. I mean, I've watched Lost in Translation, so... But...
So,
I mean, that's the same thing. It's like, oh, I love Bill Murray, so let me watch this. And then I watch it for 10 minutes, and I'm like, I'm not really entertained in this movie. It's got to get better, right? And then 45 minutes goes by. It still sucks, but I still love Bill Murray. And then 2 hours goes by, and it's like, I can't get that 2 hours back.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, this is building. Come on, they show up at Night Owl's place, and Ozymandias is there, and it's all... Shit's gonna go down.
Yes. Because this is the reason why I say it's not Rorschach, is because he shouldn't even like Ozymandias, and let alone work for him.
Well, but I mean...
Nope.
I mean, obviously...
Nope.
It's a, obviously it's a different guy. Right?
Or girl. Or girl. We don't know yet.
True. Correct. It's not the kid from the Bad News Bears. It's now someone totally different. Right?
Okay.
But I still think... I don't think that the Rorschach that we know is not going to show up in this. I think eventually... he might be back, which would be kind of crazy.
Which would be awesome.
It would be awesome. But so far, I don't mind this new Rorschach.
I don't mind the new Rorschach because it's just not him. But he does talk, or the character does talk and act like the old one.
Right. So, I mean, how do we know he wasn't just horrifically burned, which is why his hand looks different, and he's been brainwashed?
Does he have a brain to brainwash?
Well, I mean, he's person, right? So, I mean,
well, yes, but...
if he's functional, he would have to have a brain.
I don't know. I don't know.
For me, I think it lived up to the hype for me. You know, because it's just setting the stage. Like, I wasn't expecting the first issue to have, you know, all of the characters from Watchmen just like punching each other in the face, which actually would have been really cool. But you know, like, it's eventually it'll happen.
So
I anticipate more of them showing up as this goes on, even though they're talking about a bunch of them being dead. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have any theories of who the new Rorschach is?
No, I got nothing.
I thought it'd be cool if it was Renee Montoya.
That would be kind of cool.
Because...
You know, I know you were talking to me about that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we haven't seen The Question yet. And obviously her and Vic Sage are both the question of old.
Right. But
so,
but what would have happened to Renee Montoya that made her into this?
To make her crazy?
Yeah.
Who knows? That's a, hopefully where the story gets good. And we get to see it in one of the 12 issues.
You know what's going to happen? After this
it's going to be Zor-El.
But oh yeah. what'll end up happening is we'll get a before Doomsday Clock series. Like it'll be a mini series. And then there'll be like 15 before Doomsday Clock Rorschach. Before Doomsday Clock Marionette. And it'll tell all the stuff that we already know because it happened in Watchmen.
Yeah. True. I don't know. There's a couple of the things that I read with people that said it could be this person or this person or this person's kid. But that doesn't make sense.
What were they? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it's one of the detectives from the original series.
Okay.
Because of being African American and showing the colored hand, right?
Right.
But that doesn't make sense if it being one of the kids, because this is set in that time still.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't.
So,
I don't remember now. Did it say November 92, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we're like a year or so, right? Or a couple years.
Yeah, not that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time since I read Watchmen. So I don't remember the exact dates.
Me neither. But there was only a couple that, like, the internet was brainstorming about who it could be. But for me, the mime stole this issue.
Right.
Because, like you said, like, the putting the stuff on in the locker, like the fake, the invisible utility belt and everything.
Yeah.
That was just priceless.
Yeah. What did you think about the end with Clark having
a nightmare
about his parents crashing the car?
And that he never has nightmares?
Yeah, that he woke up and Lois is freaking out and he's like, oh, I've you know, basically saying he was having a bad dream. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, okay. I can't remember, you know, what'd you say? I can't remember the last time you had a nightmare or something, because he's like yelling in his sleep. And
right.
And he's just like, yeah, I've never had a nightmare.
Yeah.
So what do you think that might be?
Zor-El. Who's Rorschach?
Oh my goodness. That's gonna be, if that's the reveal, I swear to God, I give up.
No, honestly, I don't know. I think it's I would think it would be like Manhattan, like where the time fabric is mixing and tearing, right? Like the space-time
right.
fabric. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I really don't have a good theory on it, except for how else are we going to put Watchmen characters in the DC universe, right?
Yeah, that's, the whole time I was reading this, you know, they're talking about, you know, obviously they're combining things.
Yeah,
and as the book is going on, I'm like, you know what? I get, you know, in the movies like Batman versus Superman, I get it, you know, why Batman would be there, because it followed up to what happened in Man of Steel. Like, the world changed.
Right.
And, you know, Bruce Wayne was like, hell no. But in this, you know, I get all this horrible stuff is going on, but there was no connection to, you know, the DC universe proper. So right. I was trying to figure out how, you know, how something would connect them. So, you know, and then as you read the comic, you're like, all right, so maybe this issue is not going to have any of the people in it. But, you know, I guess it was, what, the last 3-4 pages?
Was it? I thought it was just the last page.
No, because it was, he had, it was at least a page or two of, like, he was kind of tossing in his sleep. And then there was whatever it was, his prom.
Oh, you're right.
Like, his parents dropping him off at the prom. And then, you know, he saw them driving off, and then he woke up, right?
Yeah, I think. That's it. That's right, yeah.
So.
I don't know. Like I said, like, on a scale of 1 to 5, like, this is a 3 for me. Just because it, like, hits those things that's like, okay, well, we're bringing Superman and Lois into this because we gotta mash it in somehow. Or, you know.
But at least the way they're doing it is an interesting way. You know, like, why is Superman having nightmares? Well, right. But it's not like, you know, Rorschach is, you know, takes them out of prison, and as they're driving the car, you know, Batman's sitting on the hood. You know, like, he just comes out of nowhere.
But why having the Watchmen in this universe do Ma and Pa Kent die a different way?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we'll get there, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, but since the Rebirth special,
but that changes, like, the whole origin thing. That's all I'm saying. It's right. Like, if it was something else, then maybe, but it's not.
But maybe this is an alternate Rebirth universe. You know, like, Rebirth didn't just affect,
like, one of the Earths?
Right, like, wouldn't it affect everything?
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, since Rebirth, we haven't really been on Earth 2, right?
Right.
There hasn't been a lot of that stuff, so maybe whatever Earth the Watchmen Earth is also, you know, we never realized before that they are on a world with the rest of the heroes.
So you're telling me that not only are the Watchmen not coming to Earth Prime, but we're going to build it up like they're coming to Earth Prime, but it's just going to be an off-Earth.
No, I think that it might not necessarily be taking place on Earth Prime, but on Earth Prime in Rebirth, there's weird stuff happening, kind of the universes colliding.
Okay.
And, you know, that's why you have the button in the Batcave and stuff like that. And I think at some point things are going to cross, maybe. And it will be our heroes and the Watchmen, you know, together or something. That's where I think it might be going.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, who knows?
So 1 to 5, where does this go for you?
I would say the first issue, I've only read it one time. So I would say, based upon the one read that I have had, I would give this first issue like a 12 and a half. No, I honestly would probably give it like a 4.5. I think like a 4.5, 4.75 out of 5.
Okay.
Because for me,
mm-hmm.
it introduced you to what appears to be, you know, 3 or 4 of the main players while teasing, you know, a bunch of stuff that has happened and will happen. And then it ended up, you know, with weird, that's not, you know, like you said, it's not how they died.
Right.
And, you know, Nightmare Superman. So, I mean, I'm all good with it.
Okay. Well,
so
hopefully yeah. It'll get better for me.
Come on, it will. I mean, Jeff Johns has been writing this thing for like 9 years, so.
Yep. We'll just leave it at that.
You want to hit up some Twitter questions?
Sure.
Let's see. I'll just go in order that they came in, I guess. What did you think of the latest Batman arc, Rules of Engagement? This is from our special guest on the, I guess it was the last episode, right? Yeah, the last episode that we did, Jay.
You want to tackle this one first? Because I'm sure we're going to have opposite opinions on this one.
Sure. To quote Men on Film from In Living Color, hated it. my issue is this. Okay. I don't understand why he feels the need. Like, okay. If you're going to get married, did you go to all of your ex-girlfriends
and that's be not like, why they went there.
Come on.
That's not why they went there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not why they went there.
All right, fine. But still.
They went there to free the girl.
Right. But come on. It's 90%.
Comic book universe, yes.
90% universe, of why they went.
She's where your ex-girlfriend is, yes.
Was Bruce like, oh, I should talk to Talia and blah, 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 blah. The best part for me of the whole thing was Dick and Damien hanging out together, making fun
and
of
each other. And the banter back and forth.
Yeah, making fun of each other.
Yep.
That, for me, that was the best thing that Tom King has written in the Batman series since, like, the issue 7. And I'm just throwing out a random number. I don't know, but it's been a while.
Huh.
You know, I thought, for me, the fight between Selina and Talia was completely ridiculous. That, I mean, unless Talia pretty much just threw the fight for the sake of throwing the fight, there is a 0% chance in my mind that Selina Kyle can take her in a sword fight of all things. Like, what the crap? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Ty is only, what, a couple hundred years old and has been a trained assassin. And Selina is like, you know, a cat burglar. So, of course she can take her with a sword.
I don't think she... Because they didn't leave with what they came there to leave with.
Right.
I think that Talia let her not really win, I guess, in the sword fight, but she won the other fight. As in, they didn't get what they wanted.
Well, I still think it was bullshit.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm enjoying the Batman run, so I'm good with it. And it's just like you said, it's 15 minutes of the blockbuster, so we don't know where it's going yet. Talia might come back.
That's not a blockbuster. This is like season 7 of a TV show that's gone on too long.
Huh. So, you know? Smallville?
You know what? I never watched Smallville, so I'll take your word for it. this is like the last season of How I Met Your Mother.
Where okay.
It's just like, well, I guess I've been watching it for so long, even though it's freaking horrible, I'll just keep with it.
I don't know. I'm totally okay with it.
Right.
Because I'm enjoying it enough to I want to see where it goes, because I don't think that's the last that we've seen of Talia, and I don't think that's the last time that they're going to go back and try to rescue the girl that doesn't want to be rescued.
Right.
So there's more to the story.
Yeah, whatever. let's see. Okay, from our friend Martin. I want to hear your thoughts on this New Age of Heroes stuff. Which book are you most looking forward to and why? Also, why do you think DC is trying that now with the success of Rebirth?
Well, my answer for the latter one is because of the success of Rebirth.
Okay.
That they can... which, to me, would be the correct approach, right? As to where you have your base foundation and have it successful.
Okay.
As to where you can try other things. Instead of, like, say, Marvel, where you try the new things as your base and it doesn't work, so then you have to relaunch three times and go back to the base.
Well, I think DC has always, at least in recent years, they've always sort of tried out new stuff all the time in hopes that it works. Like, I mean, with the New 52, when they relaunched everything, they, towards the end, they started this whole, like, whatever they called it, DCU or something. And they were like, here's a bunch of weird stuff. You know, try reading these books, and do you like them? And, I mean, none of them were that great, but, I mean, they've always sort of done, all right, you know what? We'll give you some of these experimental books. You know, we know that our main line is everyone buys Batman. Everyone, you know, people read Superman, Wonder Woman. Like, we have iconic characters that people can just walk in off the street into a comic shop and be like, oh, hey, Flash, I'll read Flash. You know, so they always kind try and sneak in those other things. To be honest, I don't know, you know, title-wise, I'm not really sure what I'm that interested in. I mean, I'm just looking at the creative teams. I think I'm more interested in the creative teams than I am the books themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I mean, Rob Venditti is writing one. I forget what the name of Damage, I think.
Damage, the one that got delayed until like March or something.
No, I thought it was out in January. Was it delayed?
I thought it was delayed until then.
Oh, I don't know. To be honest, I thought, when does this whole thing start? Is it January, February?
Yeah, that's when it was supposed to start, but I think the whole thing got delayed.
Oh, okay. Because I think that one, it's something, it's like a government agent that goes nuts for like an hour or something every day.
Right.
I think. There's one that I won't read, even though I like Dan Abnett. I forget which one. Silencer? Yeah, Silencer is Dan Abnett. Because JRJR is doing the art. So
your favorite?
Yep. So I can skip that one. It's a shame because it sounds interesting. It's, you know, like an assassin kind of thing. Justin Jordan's writing one. I forget what book he's writing.
That should be pretty solid.
Yeah, I like Justin Jordan a lot, so that'll probably be good. The one, Lemire is doing the Terrifics.
Yeah.
And I think, I forget who the artist was. It was someone I really liked. Ivan Rice, maybe?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that one, I don't care at all about the Terrifics, but it's Jeff Lemire writing, so it's probably going to be spectacular. Like, he does a really good job taking characters that I didn't care so much about and making them interesting again. You know? Like, yeah. I mean, for me, New 52 Green Arrow was terrible until he took over around issue 16, 17. And for whatever it was, 17, 18 issues, breathed, like, total new life into that character. And personally, I think that run is like right up there with Longbow Hunters and some of the other stuff that he's done, you know, that Green Arrow has been in, that is like one of the best stories, you know. I don't remember what else. I think there's one, I forget what it is. Jim Lee is drawing one that I think is kind of like a prequel thing. That's like, it talks about like the forge, I guess, from like centuries ago.
Okay.
I forget who's writing it, but Jim Lee's drawing it. So it'll probably, the first issue will come out on time. The second issue will get delayed a week, and then every other issue will be a couple weeks behind until it finally just kind of goes away, is my guess.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think Justin Jordan's writing another one, too. I think he's writing a couple of them. I don't remember. I think Scott Snyder's writing one. I don't remember which book he's doing. You know, like, the people that are doing it are good. They have a lot of really good writers. Steve Orlando's doing one, I think. James Tynion is doing one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the people they have writing these books are, you know, some of their, you know, their biggest names.
Right.
And, I mean, bringing back Lemire, I guess Justin Jordan, he hasn't done anything for DC before, has he? I mean, like, in a while?
Not that, not this for, is, for a while, no.
This is him coming back, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know specifically, you know, if I'm looking forward to any more than the rest.
The one that doesn't really jump out of the page? Right?
Yeah.
One doesn't stand out to you as more than the other one, though.
Well,
obviously you're not going to read the JRJR one, so that one to the curb.
Yeah, like that one I'm least looking forward to. I mean, I will try the first issue. You know? Mm-hmm. I'll read the first issues of all of them.
Right.
But I have such a problem with his art that it's really tough for me to get through. So, we'll see. Yeah, I just forgot which one, who was writing that book. It was, Abnett, right? It does Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah, here's the tagline for that one. It's coming out the end of January, supposedly. The Silencer was one of the most deadliest assassins in the DC universe until she decided to retire to a normal life. But her old life comes crashing back when her old employer, Talia al Ghul, offers her a new mission. I mean, sounds awesome.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie, the promo issue, like the picture, is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now, too.
Yeah. Oof. Which one are you, or which ones are you most interested in, or any of them stand out to you?
The RVD book definitely stands out, but I'm actually looking forward to the Lemire book the most.
Right.
Just because it's like The Incredibles meet Black Hammer style for me.
See, I don't know. I couldn't get into Black Hammer. I read the first six or so issues, and I was like, you know what? It's just not my thing. So I'm kind of hoping that this isn't like that in a way. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. And I'm wondering with this, I don't know if it's a separate imprint. You know, I don't think that these take place in the, you know, DC proper universe. That it might just be like standalone stuff.
Right.
But I kind of hope with that it's not super heavy-handed editing. That, you know, up above is saying, this is what we want with these books. And it's more, you know, Jeff Lemire was like, hey, I have a random idea with this group of characters. So I'm going to put them together in a Fantastic Four type of setting. and we're just gonna see where it goes. You know, that they're just like, hey, write your thing. You know?
Yeah, and just let the writers and pencilers create.
Yeah.
And just let it, kind of like old school Vertigo style.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Just, yeah, I mean, obviously, make sure that they stay on message, but don't get too involved in changing stuff up. Just let them, obviously, they picked these people for a reason. You know, the pitches must have been good enough.
Yep.
So.
And actually, if you, like, look at it, besides Snyder, right? Mm-hmm. You have Venditti and Lemire and Jordan, right?
Yeah.
And Tillian, right?
Mm-hmm. And Steve Orlando.
And Orlando. Those are like... I would say those are like the next generation, quote unquote.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Of top tier writers. I mean, RVD could be on the fence, you know what I mean? But I don't think he's had that like breakout thing as to where he's like,
but at the same time,
he's notarized like with us, you know what I'm saying, and around the Valiant circles and stuff. But
he's been writing Green Lantern for like five years now.
Yeah.
DC obviously trusts him with a huge property.
He
wrote The Flash for a while too.
Okay, so take him out of there too then, if you want to count that.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, the established guys, right? Like, the cemented established guys. Like, if King wasn't writing Batman, he would probably have a book on this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, this is, like, grooming them to become top-tier writers.
Oh, or I could see that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, here's your make it or break it book, or let's see what you can do with this before we give you Wonder Woman or, you know, a big book type thing.
Right, to get them more involved.
Right, which Tinian is on Detective, so, I mean, that really doesn't count either, but, like, you know, for Lemire and Jordan and
Orlando's doing the other Justice League book.
Yeah.
You know, so he's also writing kind of a Batman team book.
Right.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be more interesting to see if they maintain the schedule that they're supposed to.
Right.
Just like looking through release dates, it looks like they all start mid-January, and like each week a new one premieres, or every 2 weeks maybe.
Which I think it got pushed back though.
Could be.
Because Metal, something.
Oh yeah, Metal. The last issue of Metal got delayed, right?
Yeah. So I think this got pushed back as well.
Makes sense.
Instead of being like Marvel. And you have the big event gets pushed back, but the books that are taking off from it just DC stay on schedule.
DC did it too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I still can't get over that whole Forever Evil thing, man. Where, I mean, they legitimately spoiled the ending of the event because the event book got pushed back like a month, and somehow, in the meantime, a bunch of follow-up books came out. It's like, really? You couldn't hold those off? Like, it was that important that you had to let me know how this ended before I got to read how it ended?
Yeah.
That was bizarre.
Yep.
But, any more thoughts on the New Age of Heroes stuff?
No, I'm just... I'll take it as it goes.
Yeah. Last question from our friend Rob. what are your top three DC ongoings right now? And I asked him for clarification if he wanted just Rebirth stuff or anything DC. And he said anything DC as long as it's an ongoing.
Okay.
I mean, my number one is obvious.
It's probably the same as my number one?
Yeah, Blue Beetle.
Negative.
Oh, no. I'm guessing you were going to say Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I can't not say enough good things about this book.
Yeah. You know what? So that's our number one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think our number twos are going to differ.
You think so?
I do. Because I don't think you're going to say what I'm going to say.
My number two is going to be Batgirl, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is not my number two.
Huh. What's your number two?
Wildstorm.
Ooh. Ah, man, now I got to rethink my order.
There it is.
Because I wasn't even thinking about Wildstorm.
That's why I asked if he meant DC or Rebirth, because I don't think this is a Rebirth thing.
No.
And Wildstorm's been pretty freaking good.
Oh. Yeah, Wildstorm's been awesome.
Was there something came out last week?
Michael Cray 2?
Shoot, I didn't read that yet. I got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm like an issue behind on that one. But yeah Wildstorm's really good.
Yeah.
Because once I put Wildstorm onto my list, my number three got real cloudy.
Yeah.
Because it got hard to narrow it down.
Yeah. See, that just, like, throws everything out of whack.
Yeah.
Because Wildstorm's definitely up there. Definitely. And let's see. But see, I like Batgirl, and I like the Hanna-Barbera stuff, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't read any of that.
But see, I don't think those are... I'm not sure if those are ongoings or not.
I don't know.
Because I haven't seen, like, the Flintstones one come out for a while, unless I'm just missing it.
To be honest, I don't remember seeing it, but I also don't look for them.
Yeah.
Jokingly, like, I was going to put the
ones was awesome.
The Scooby-Doo team-up book on there. Just because I get a kick out of reading those with my kids. It's always, like, you know, Scooby-Doo and Poison Ivy. And I'm just like, that's random. Why?
Right, yeah.
You know, like my kids find it amusing because they like Scooby-Doo and it's introducing them. I mean, they've watched a lot of the cartoon shows and stuff, so they know a lot of the characters or from playing like the video games, Lego Batman and whatever. But it's always fun to read those with them because it is just random. You know, here's a story with just like totally random Batman villains and Scooby-Doo doing stuff.
Right.
But my number three, it's really a tie. I couldn't, once I got Wildstorm into my head that I, you know, it's for me, I would say it's a tie between Batgirl and Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Okay. Yeah.
But just because I couldn't pick one of those over the other. I enjoy them both pretty much the same. But, like, right after that, there's, like, six or seven books that, issue by issue, could easily jump up. You know?
Right. Ah, man. Yeah, see, because I love all the Hanna-Barbera type stuff, like the Jetsons and the Dick Dastardly book.
Right.
And the Space Coast one.
I should read the Space Coast one. I always like Space Coast.
But, like, yeah, like, Batgirl's there, and Red Hood and the Outlaws are there. You know what? Nope. All right. And Batman's there for me.
Yeah.
I know, not for you, but Batman's there for me.
I know. Like, you're also really into Aquaman.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, Aquaman is, like, right behind those. Same thing with Hal Jordan. Same thing with
yeah, man.
Yeah. You know, and you know what book's been surprising me? The last couple issues of Titans
have been really good too.
Yeah, really good.
See, and like since Tim Seeley took over Hellblazer, it's been really good.
Oh yeah, I keep meaning to go back and try that.
Which Tim Seeley has last week just started Dark Horse, I think. It's called Imaginary Friend, and it's Tim Seeley going back to like horror genre style.
Interesting.
And it's really really fantastic too. Damn you, Rob.
Yeah, it's like it's a really tough question.
Yeah, it is. I would say above.
Oh, like one and two are definitely Deathstroke and Wildstorm.
Yeah, but that might even be like 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because there's some, like the filler issues of Deathstroke are great, but like some of the filler issues of, or you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. It can alternate back and forth.
Right.
No, I think if, like, gun to head and everything, I think it would be Deathstroke, Wildstorm, and then, like, Batgirl or Batman. Because I'm enjoying both of those books for different reasons.
Yeah, Batgirl because it's amazing, and Batman because you like horrible things.
Well, I mean, that's... That's probably
why,
it.
That's probably why you like me so much. You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. Oh man, that's when you sent that Rob asked that question, I was like, oh, that should be easy. Yeah. But now like thinking about it, it's like it's Sunday and I don't want to have to do work on Sunday night. Cause like then you, I don't know, man. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the top three that I said.
So, Deathstroke, Wildstorm, Batgirl?
Deathstroke, Wildstorm, Bat, ...
Oh. So, I mean, that's funny. We basically have the same top three.
Yeah. Yeah, because I totally forgot about it until you said that, so.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know, man. Wildstorm is so good. And I... see, this is why I think that Doomsday Clock is going to come up and surprise you. Because I didn't think going in...
Jeff Johns is writing, though.
Yeah?
He's not, like, one of my favorite writers, though.
You know what, though?
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying that... Because I would definitely read Jeff Johns over Grant Morrison.
Well, okay. This is the thing with Jeff Johns. For me... When he has a great idea and is really enthusiastic about it, I don't think anybody can touch him writing wise. Like some of the things that he has written, you know, story arcs or, you know, event type things, he's done for me some of my absolute favorite things ever. But there are also times where, I mean, I don't think he's ever phoning it in, but there are some times when it's like, okay, maybe this idea wasn't the best.
Yeah.
But I think with something as high profile as Doomsday Clock, he hasn't been writing books on the regular, so you know he's putting a lot of time, and you know DC itself is putting a lot of time making sure that this idea is going to be good, that I have total faith that this is gonna, I would say next issue, totally suck you in.
I said that I was hopeful still.
Yeah,
I just didn't like how it started out, because right. I thought it started out really slow instead of balls to the wall.
It's building, because what would have happened if issue one started off balls to the wall? Issue 2 would have been the really slow one. You'd be like, oh man, issue 2 sucks. Such a letdown. Where's all the action?
See, I don't know. I don't think so.
Nah, you've done that before. I do it all the time. You know, there's always, you know, whenever, you know, like in a mini series, like an 8 issue, like a maxi or something like that.
Yeah.
If the first issue is like super hyped and you're like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Issue 2 is always the setup. And you're just like, oh my goodness, they really, they slowed things down in this one. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I hear you.
I don't know. I dig it. You got anything else?
I do not have anything else, really.
You watched Justice League again?
I did.
I gotta go see that.
Go see it again?
Yeah, again. One of my friends told me that he found like a crappy cam version, and he's just been watching the Superman resurrection scene over and over. He's like, I can't stop watching this scene. He's like, I got like the worst possible quality version, and I just keep watching it because it's so good. I'm like, yeah
there's a lot of good stuff.
I'm just going to wait for the Blu-ray.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're off on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
And the kids go back to school on Wednesday?
That's true. Right? They do have a full day of school, so there's a very, very good chance I will be sitting in the movie theater this Wednesday seeing the movie again.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, if you've got nothing else, and I've got nothing else, I would like to thank you all for listening to the latest episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. You can tweet me directly at Aaron S. Bell.
You can tweet me directly at Rombar316.
You can tweet the show at DC_Absolute. You can check us out on nerdylegion.com. And I guess other podcasts that don't matter as much. Right?
They don't matter. They all matter.
All the podcasts on the Nerdy Legion Network matter.
Well, just the ones that we're on. I mean, let's be real.
Just most of them, between the two of us.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's only like 4 that we don't do.
Right? That's because we're good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you do the majority of it, so. You know, feel free to hate listen to other podcasts Ronnie is on, such as the Ultimate Marvel podcast, Aftershock Central,
Open Bar.
Open Bar, yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally, Podcast of 1,000 Holds, which that's your other one that you're on most of the time.
Most of the time. I've missed a couple lately. But, yeah, it's all good. Yep. So, thank you for listening. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
No, that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.